You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statement this morning, a reminder of Christ's work in our lives, rain or shine, right? Christ is working in us and around us. Thank you for that good word this morning. I am not what's been done to me, but what Christ has been done for me. I am not what I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ, and Christ determines what I do. Thank you very much. I wanted to start off with a question this morning. Have you ever been around somebody who was maybe a little bit proud? What does that look like if someone has a little bit of a pride issue? You can almost see it in the way that they walk, the way that they talk, the way they carry themselves. There's a term that I've heard used, and that's a banty rooster. You all know what a rooster is? Some of you have chickens at home. Well, growing up, we moved when I was 15 years old, and we moved to a house out in the country. I'd grown up in the city, didn't have any animals, but then we moved out to the country and we inherited a whole chicken coop full of chickens. And there was this one big chicken. His name was Jake. And Jake was the big banty rooster. He was about this tall. And he had huge spurs on the back of his feet. You know how chickens have those three toes and then they have that one on the back? Well, that thing was sharp. And he literally would walk around. He'd strut his stuff in the yard. And he would come at us whenever we were out in the backyard playing. And fortunately, the backyard had a nice little slope to it down to the chicken house. So that when we were playing out in the backyard and he was at the chicken house and he saw us, we had a little bit of time to escape because he had to run uphill and our legs were longer. But he was mean and he was like just strutting his stuff and it was all about him. He wasn't just mean to us kids and my mom whenever she would go to get the eggs, but he was also mean to the other chickens. He was mean to the other hens and the other males that were unfortunate enough to have been hatched there in our little egg emporium. This morning I want to look at three words for us. Three words, and these are big words, okay? So we'll take just a few moments to kind of tease and coax out the meaning of each of these words. First word is, can you read it with me? Self-promotion. Self-promotion. What does that sound like? It is the act of promoting or publicizing oneself or one's activities, especially in a forceful way. Confidence in yourself and your abilities. Now there's parts of this self-promotion that it's good. Is it good for us to be confident in myself and in my abilities? There's certain things that as we grow and as we learn, we get better and we become more what? Confident. Do you remember when you first learned to write your letters? Can y'all remember that? Maybe you wrote a note for the first time to someone. Do you remember writing that note? I remember one of the first times that I wrote a note. I took it to my mom after I had written it, and I asked her to check to make sure that my spelling was right. I wasn't confident yet because I hadn't spent a lot of time, didn't have a lot of experience putting words together on a page and writing a thank you note to my grandma after I had gotten $20 in the mail for my birthday, and I wrote that thank you note. I wasn't confident enough to just put it in the mail. I wanted to make sure that I had gotten it right. But as time went on, how many adults here write thank you notes every once in a while? Not as much as we should, probably. We're working on it to express our gratitude through handwritten correspondence. Now, I don't take my thank you card to my mom anymore. No, my mom is back in Ohio and I'm here in Texas. I'm pretty confident that I know how to do a thank you note. And so I have a little bit of confidence in myself and my abilities to write a thank you note. But there are moments when we can find ourselves in the bad side or an unhealthy side of self-promotion, and it's all about me, myself, and I. And social media today is a great example of self-promotion. What do? We put out the best, the brightest, the smiliest, all the good things go out on social media. We kind of hold back behind us some of the things that are not necessarily favorable. We don't put that forth. But there's some folks that are going to lean really heavy and hard, and they're trying to find their value. They're trying to find affirmation. They're trying to find love from other people because of, and you can figure that out, follow the breadcrumbs back to the way that they self-promote and they publicize oneself. There are those who are politicians. We're in an election season. And it's always funny because I will meet people in the community that I've never met before, and they're running for something. And they're introducing themselves to me, and they're my best friend. Yet I've never seen them or met them before. But because they're running for office in a particular situation or setting, all of a sudden they're putting themselves forth out there for everyone to see, and they want to put their ideas, their views, their perspective. That's self-promotion. So there's a healthy way of expressing that self, but then there's also maybe some unhealthy ways to do that. Second word for us this morning is, read it with me, self-aggrandizement. The action or the process of promoting oneself as being powerful or important. Self-aggrandizement. Aggrandizement. As soon as I break it up, I start to lose it. This is somebody who is walking around kind of like that rooster that my parents had. By the way, it only lived a few more months after we got it. It became chicken soup. It was under my guidance to kind of walk it through its ending moments. It was a very disturbing moment for me. Again, the first life that I took, this rooster that became chicken soup. It was powerful, and it wasn't afraid to express its power. And it was using its power, its spurs. It would try to cut us and scratch us, and was mean in a way that was putting everybody down and lifting itself up. And there's a name that we use for that today, especially on the playground growing up as a kid, and we call that a bully. A bully is somebody who is putting others down in order to put their power and their importance up so others can see that. It's, I am better than everyone else, and I am going to show and demonstrate that power. They may say mean things, do mean things, just be unkind in the way that they generally interact with those around them. And then lastly this morning, the third word for us, self, read it with me, self-assured. Having or showing confidence in yourself and your abilities. What are you confident about? Are you confident about playing the piano? Are you confident when it comes to running a race? Are you confident in doing your chores at home? Are you confident in your work space? Are you confident in your relationship with those in your life that you love and that love you? Self-assured. There are those moments when we can cross over and we're no longer in a healthy place of being self-assured. Oh, no, I got this. I don't need your help. I think we were supposed to, this is my wife to me, I think we were supposed to turn back there. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure. I know where we're going. I've got this. I don't need any help with directions. I think we missed our turn. There are those moments when I am over-assured in myself. I'm overconfident. And it's an unhealthy way that actually hurts me and those around me. But the healthy self-assured is, I know who I am. We did our identity statement just a few moments ago. I know who I am in Christ. And I'm continuing to find out and experience what that looks like in my words, in my actions on the outside. There's something that has changed on the inside. There's something that's alive on the inside. But every day is an opportunity to have that come forth and be experienced by me and by those around me in my life. This is our 30-mile-an-hour sign on our little county road. And look down here. This is a new sign that we just got. This says, "Slow children playing." We got it. So we have a county commissioner, and that county commissioner, a little while back ago when he was running for office, knocked on our door. We hadn't met him before. I didn't know who he was. And he introduced himself. "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm a candidate, and I'm running for commissioner here in your precinct." And I said, "Well, it's good to meet you. I've met our current commissioner, but I haven't met either of the two candidates who are running." And there was something about him that I liked, because he wasn't cocky and he wasn't arrogant. He was just, "I love our community. I've been here in the county for a long time, and I want to continue to serve and to help." That was the last time I talked to him for over a year. Until one day when we were out front of our house and the kids were riding their bicycles, and I think I was on a skateboard, skateboarding up and down. And there were a couple cars that went flying down our road. And it was a little scary how fast they were going. And I thought, you know, we got to be able to do something to at least remind people or raise their awareness that there are children in the vicinity. Even with us there on the side of the road, they still just pedal to the metal, we're flying down our county road. And so what I did is I pulled up my phone app for Amazon, and I said, "I wonder if I can buy a sign that says, 'Slow children playing.'" And so I found the sign, and I thought, "I'm going to take a picture of this, and I'm going to message this via Facebook to our county guy and see if it's okay for me to buy it and then put it underneath the speed limit sign." And so that's what I explained to him. I said, "We've got people that are flying up and down. I'd like to have just a reminder that there's families with kids playing out on the street. Is this okay for me to purchase and then put up?" And he came back right away. He said, "Don't worry about it. I know right where you live, and I am going to order the sign, and I'll have the county crew put it up as soon as it gets in." There it is. You know, not once did he ask me, would you post on Facebook that I got you this sign?" When I saw him later at a community event here recently, he didn't say, "Hey, are you going to vote for me when I run again because I got you a sign?" No, he said, "It's good to see you, Ryan. How are your kids doing? Is everybody well in your family?" He has a heart to serve and to give. There wasn't that self-aggrandizement, and there wasn't that self-promotion that I've seen in other politicians as they've talked. There was a humbleness, there was a meekness, there was a kindness, there was a, "I want to do what's best for those around me." And he's done that. And I would vote for him again if he was running again, because he delivered on his promise to help the community and to be there for the citizens of the community when they need a little extra help. What we've been talking about is something that psychologists talk about, and that is a word, ego. Ego. Ego is another way of saying myself, my internal life, how I see myself and how I relate to the world around me. In a nutshell, the ego is a healthy thing, and when the ego is healthy, foremost, gives the ability to regulate painful emotions rooted in anger and fear. The word ego is a Greek word for I, meaning the core sense of self, a distinct and unique expression of personhood, all but one of the paradox one that paradoxically exists in connection or in relation to life and others. Ego is just a fancy way of just talking about what is the makeup of Ryan. What is the makeup of each of you in your life? And there's sometimes where our ego gets a little bit too big. It becomes all about me and my kingdom. It becomes, I want people to bow down when I come into their presence. I recently was in a meeting, and there was a meal served before that meeting. It was a lunch thing. And I had someone come to me, and they said, they weren't in charge of this meeting. They said, oh, aren't you going to insist that we pray before this meal? My first thought was, I get paid to pray. Yeah, I could pray before this meal. I'd be more than happy to pray before this meal. I pray before meals with my family. I pray before meals when I'm eating privately. But in that moment, I had a decision to make. Am I going to push myself forward? Or maybe is this an opportunity to show that God is alive and well in my life? What is moving me in this situation? Do I feel like I need to show everybody that I am a God person, that I'm a follower of Jesus? I need to kind of push that to the forefront? Or maybe it's God's still small voice saying, Ryan, just be my witness in this small way. See, there's those moments where on the inside I'm trying to discern what's going on in my heart. Am I trying to push myself forward, or is God flowing through me and out in this situation? I want to give you a scripture here that the Lord has worked in my life different ways, different times. Would you read this with me? John chapter 7, verse 38. Out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. See, there's these moments where that flow comes. And when I have an opportunity to open up the floodgates, when I have the opportunity to open up those floodgates, what am I letting come out? Am I allowing that living water that brings refreshment to those who are living in a dry and barren land? Jesus said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Sometimes I have to be sensitive, though, that I am not that fire hose. Have you ever played in a fire hose before? Have you been around? So here in Bertram, at the school, they're going to have water day, and the fire department, volunteer fire department, they're going to have their fire trucks out at the school, and they're going to turn the water on. They're going to have their hoses, and they're going to be spraying all the kids who want to get wet as the school season or the school year comes to an end. And as it gets hotter and hotter, they're going to be getting everybody cooled down there at the school. Doesn't that sound like fun? I think it sounds like a blast. Well, you don't want to be this close or this close or this close or this close or this close to a fire hose when it's turned on. Do you know why? Because it's going to push you back. It could knock you over. Some of those fire hoses, it takes two or maybe even three firemen holding those fire hoses tight to make sure that they're able to direct the water where it needs to go. And I have to be mindful. I have to be in a place in my life that maybe somebody just needs that little bit of a sprinkle from my wife's watering can. They don't need to be blasted. They don't need to be forced or pushed. They just need a light sprinkle, a light rain in their life from those rivers of living water that Christ has said is inside of me and is also inside of each of you here this morning. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. Well, there's a moment in Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount where he reminds his friends, he reminds his brothers and his sisters that in our lives, we have to sometimes step back and evaluate and say, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Why am I saying the things that I'm saying? Is it because I'm just simply saying yes to that flow of God in my life and yes to however God is saying, this is the best way to share that living water with those who are dry, not blasting them away. Have you ever gotten out your garden hose? Yeah, I love playing with garden hose. But if you take your garden hose and you just planted some seeds and you have it on full power, what happens when you put it down in the dirt? It just washes the dirt and the seeds right away. It uncovers the seeds. So sometimes you just need to kind of step back a little bit and just be gentle in the way you allow the water to come out. And the nice, even soaking takes place so that the water can go down to the roots that it needs to go down to, and it doesn't wash away the topsoil. It doesn't wash away anything else like a flood would just wash right away. Jesus' words, read this with me, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Practicing your righteousness. We should probably stop right there and ask the question, what does it mean to practice my righteousness? Well, the word righteous means to be right with or in a healthy connection with God. There is a hand in hand. There's a shoulder to shoulder. There is a, I am in step with God in my life. That is righteousness. For the children of Israel, they were constantly called back to follow God and embrace righteousness in your life. Turn away from the foreign gods. Turn away from pursuing things that only bring destruction to your hearts. Come back to me with your heart, with your mind, with your whole self. Love God. Embrace. That is that action of righteousness. So I'm going to have Creedon stand up real quick. Would you stand just over that way just a little bit and then walk, just walk past me? Was that righteousness? Were we walking with each other? No, we passed. We passed one another. We crossed a little bit there. But what about this? Ready? Was that righteousness? That was righteousness. That was, I am in step with Creedon. Work together. Thank you. You can sit down. Appreciate that. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness. I am close to God. I'm walking with God. I've got it together. God and I, we are two peas in a pod. That may be pushing it a little bit too far. When someone walks, there's normally somebody who's setting the pace. When someone is taking a step with you, I can either run ahead of them or wait back. And righteousness requires a following. It requires a, I'm listening, I'm being perceptive, I am waiting on God to make the next move, the next step. Have you ever come to a stop sign, or not a stop sign, but a crosswalk where you had to stop to cross the street to go to the other side? There's those moments when, if I am going to follow God, I need to watch and see, does God wait to cross the street until it says walk? Or do I just run ahead and do my own thing? Righteousness, I'm walking with God. Jesus says, don't practice your righteousness. Beware, be cautious. There's moments to brag and to praise God. I got it right. Have you ever had one of those I got it right moments? When you're like, I actually did something right. I didn't mess up. I didn't hurt my wife. I didn't say something unkind to my kids. I was patient in this moment, and I demonstrated kindness. And I'm excited because you know what? That means that something good inside is coming out. God has shown up. And sometimes I want to brag about that, but maybe the way to brag about that is not posting it on social media. Maybe I should text a brother, call a sister. Maybe I can brag to my wife or my kids about what God is doing in my life. So Jesus is not saying that I'm to be fearful about talking about those places in my life where God is really connecting and I'm connecting to God and things are just beautiful right now and I'm excited about that. But he's saying the motive behind it is it all about trying to push myself forward. It's my ulterior motive. Am I in check? Am I saying yes to that flow of living water in my life that's coming through and then coming out? And am I free to share that with those around me in a way that lifts them up instead of lifting myself up? Jesus goes on. Read this with me. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. I want you to think about this. There's two schools of thoughts about the biblical history of what took place in Jesus' time period. And there's one school that thinks that the scribes and the Pharisees, before they would give to someone, they would literally come out with a trumpet or a bugle, and every day they would go, and that was a sign and the symbol. That was the calling for anyone who had a need financially to come, because the people who love God and know God, they're going to do something to help those in their community, sounding a trumpet. So that's one way to read the scripture, that literally the scribes and the Pharisees would sound a trumpet when it was time for almsgiving, and then all those who had needs would come to the temple or the synagogue. But the other way to think of it is the way a king would have someone standing before him, walking before him, as the king comes out on a horse or being carried. The king would have someone who would say, here comes the king, so-and-so. They are awesome. They are cool. They have done all of this. You should bow down because they are as awesome as the gods. The gods have given them to us. They're a son of God. They are just like God. They're God's rep in our lives. Come and fall down and worship them because they are all of that and a bag of potato chips. Sounding your trumpet before you. There's those people. Well, let's take out our wallets. Look what I'm going to give today, everybody. Can you all see how much I'm going to give? This is what I'm giving. This is what I'm doing for God. Two different ways of looking at this passage, and both of them might leave a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. Jesus says that there's something for each of us to do, and it's to do in a place that's quiet and that's secret and that it's behind the scenes. Let's continue reading. Jesus wraps up verse 4 by saying this. But when you give, read it with me, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What a beautiful promise, to give in secret, and the one who sees in secret, the one who knows what happens behind the scenes, behind the closed doors, is going to reward. Reward. Now, we never give to get. God's love, God's pattern, the way that God responds and acts in our world today is God is always giving. God doesn't say, I'll give to you if you give to me first. And so as God's children, we seek to follow that. We look for ways. We open up our hearts. How can I give? How can I share? How can I be a conduit? How can I be that pipe for those rivers of living water to flow through my life and to touch someone else? Sometimes I have to pause and I have to stop, and sometimes I'll go to Theodosia. Sometimes I'll sit with it for a while. I feel like I need to do something. I need to give. I need to share. But how do I do that in such a way that only God knows? That it's just in my heart between me and the person that I give with, the person that I share with. Whether that's my time, my finances, whether that's a kind word of encouragement, or correction or direction, the way that I give, am I giving in such a way that it's not putting me forth and up, but it's actually allowing God to be raised, to raise up inside of somebody who needs that lift, needs that living water to flow into their life and through them. Jesus said, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This morning, we all recognize that there's a lot of needs in our world today. There's a lot of those who are hurting. There's a lot of those who are dry. I have needs in my life. You have needs in your life. How am I going to respond to those needs? How am I going to respond? And I want to start with the inside. Aaron talked about there's something inside of each of us that when we allow it to come out, it gives us new life. It gives us freshness. It gives us a wholeness. And so in my life and in your life, when we become aware of a need, or we're just maybe beginning the process of saying, "God, what does it mean for me to be open to being a conduit for your flow into other people's lives?" We just need to stop, and sometimes we need to say, I'm available. I'm available. I'm here, and I'm willing to share whatever I need to share and however I can share. How am I going to respond? In secret, quiet, in a way that is below the surface, in a way that's under the radar, not in a way that's showy and boastful, lifting me up, but allowing God to bring that gentle, refreshing rain of His Spirit into the lives of those who need it most. I want to just take a moment here this morning and allow each of us, just in that secret place, that holy of holies in each of our hearts where God lives and resides, come to that place in your heart and just ask the question this morning: when I give, how am I going to respond? How am I going to respond? We're just going to take a few moments to just listen in your own heart and to ask that question of God's Spirit today. How will I give? Creator God, we thank You so much that You have given to us. And You've given into each of our hearts in a secret way, because it's in a secret place. Only we and You know what's in our hearts this morning. The treasures that are there, that You are inviting for us to find and to seek out, to allow to come to the surface. Pray that You would show us what it means to give in secret. We want to have hands that are open to receive the rewards that You have for us in the secret place. We thank You so much for Jesus, a part of that revealing of Your heart towards each of us. We receive that eternal and everlasting life. Thank You for the gift of salvation. It's in Jesus' name. I pray all of this. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.